NOEM Update News. I'm Eva DeLapp. It's 9:02. The Alaska Redistricting Board has adopted a final district plan for voting in Alaska. The unanimous decision by the board came Sunday after almost 3 years of deciding new district lines. The 2012 interim map brought various points of contention, one of which was the size of the Fairbanks district, which stretched across most of the state into western Alaska. In the 2013 proclamation made Sunday, this was adjusted. The Bering Straits and Yukon Delta, covered by House District 39 and Senate District T, now extend east past Ruby, southeast to Grayling and Anvik, and northwest above Shishmaref. The map adopted Sunday creates a district that the board says is similar to maps prior to 2012. District T Senator Donnie Olson says he's excited about these changes because they make more sense than the 2012 election maps.
Right now, the people on the road system, other people are not on the road system, and we're fully dependent on air transportation. And so because of that, I feel like it makes a lot more sense, and it seems to be a much more compact, and that's what the Alaska Constitution says, is that we need to have these districts as compact as possible.
Olson adds the new plan makes it easier to advocate for the same issues.
You have the same type of issues that are out there, whether it's energy or in fish and marine life and those kind of things, and transportation, where before there was certainly people that had a mixture where they're actually competing against for the resources.
House District 39 Representative Neil Foster echoes this sentiment, hearing different needs from those on the road system versus areas that can only be accessed by airplane. He says it is important to make sure the same interests are being met in both the urban and rural areas of the state.
If this plan does get approved by the Supreme Court, that we can focus on issues that are more kind of more compact in nature, I guess, and just maybe have a little more in common.
The 2013 Alaska Redistricting Plan awaits final review from the Alaska Supreme Court. Representative Neil Foster says if the plan is adopted, he looks forward to revisiting old friends who were in his district just over a year ago. The U.S. Coast Guard opened up its forward operating location in Kotzebue last week as part of Arctic Shield 2013. Though this year's operation is focused on western Alaska, the Coast Guard aims to build on knowledge gained during last year's operation in the Arctic, where personnel and equipment were based in Barrow. Kip Woodlow is a spokesperson for the 17th U.S. Coast Guard District in Juneau.
It's important that we are able to increase our maritime domain awareness so we know what's going on in the Bering Strait. So if a accident or a disaster occurs, you know, we are prepared to work with our international and local partners to respond to that.
During Arctic Shield 2013, the Coast Guard will focus on outreach in western Alaska, testing its Arctic capabilities, and working in conjunction with the Canadian Coast Guard to help build on its international partnership with Canada. Wadlow says one difference between this and last year's operation is the testing of Coast Guard cutter Nassen. The forward operating location will remain open through the end of September. George Stetson is a postdoctoral fellow at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy. He teaches a few classes and is in the area doing research on the impacts of increased vessel traffic on Alaska Native communities, particularly the subsistence lifestyle. He's looking at what policies are being formed now to mitigate potentially adverse effects on the subsistence lifestyle and what policies should be in place. But what he says he's really interested in is what roles Alaska Natives are playing in creating policies and actions.
I'm participating in different venues to create policies and actions to mitigate the impact. So, in a nutshell, what is the role of Alaska Native communities in helping to decide these very policies which could potentially impact their future?
Stetson will be doing person-to-person interviews in the academic community. They call it qualitative research.
Which really just means that I deal with people's stories more than numbers. And so for me, it's important to get interviews with folks from very different perspectives on this particular issue.
Stetson so far has talked with people in Gamble, Stebbins, and St. Michael, and Nome. He realizes Stebbins and St. Michael are not necessarily in the direct line that ship traffic will take.
The ocean doesn't necessarily respect borders, and, you know, we know that pollution and contamination travels far. And so I think talking to people from communities that aren't necessarily right in the middle of this is also important.
Stetson did previous research on the indigenous people in the Peruvian Amazon, what he describes as an environmental conflict between oil and gas developers and the indigenous people in Peru. Stetson says there are parallels between the coastal Alaska Natives' reliance on the Bering Sea and the Peruvian indigenous people's reliance on the rainforests.
The conclusion that they came to was in order to protect those resources, to protect their livelihoods, to protect their culture, they needed a consultation law on the books. And so at the end of a very long, arduous struggle against the Peruvian government, they finally got a consultation law passed just 2 years ago.
Stetson says he has found that Alaska Native peoples at differing levels want a seat at the table when it comes to Arctic shipping and maritime traffic policy, but it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not... You know, it's easy to say we want people to have a seat at the table, but it isn't easy to do. It's not easy to do in a really difficult budgetary environment. It was very difficult for me to come because of sequester. It is difficult.
Stetson planned to conclude his interviewing in the Bering Strait region last week. He will write several different reports from the research this summer, one for the Coast Guard Academy, one for the Academy's Maritime Policy and Strategy News Center, and he'll also write a report for the Coast Guard's District 17, the district that has Alaska jurisdiction, and of course, he'll write his own paper to be published in academic journals. Gold has risen $6.30 today, trading at $1,290.50. Silver has risen 4 cents, trading at $20.07. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 will arrive in Nome at 9:12 and depart at 9:57. Unofficially 47 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.